May God bless each and every one of you dearly. Thank you for your kindness. We're glad to have Chicken Gilda, Charles and Gilda for your visitor's sake. Charles, always tell people, Chick will give you a check. Got to remember to do that. We had some people spent some money on the meeting this week that we've got to reimburse, so remind me about that. Just, if you don't mind, please remind me about that. We're going to be in, I done told you, Luke chapter 4. We'll be in the Gospel some and in the Old Testament a little bit. But and you don't necessarily have to follow along unless you just want to write the scriptures down. And thank you again for praying for us while we were gone. And continue praying for Justin and all. I just thank the Lord for this week. This has been a nation changing week and a world changing week. Amen. I mean it has, and you know that the old writers and even the Jewish nation in the Old Testament and even now are looking for something that they call the Golden Age. It'll never happen as much as the way God's going to make it happen eventually. But I tell you what, it's the sun's shining right now. And I'm telling you, I hope you realize that and appreciate that. I was going to ask, what was her name? I'm going to say Mary Jane or something like that. Her last name is Booty. She's the pastor of that church, Presbyterian church in the cathedral. I was going to ask her to come and speak today, but she had other appointments. I'll tell you who I'm trying to get to come is that black guy that did that praying. He blew the roof off. He didn't read nothing, did he? No, he didn't read nothing. He sure didn't. Well, you got a danger here of being in an independent Baptist church and going to sleep. And I'll tell you, it's the preacher's fault most of the time, but not all the time. I heard about something that only one person that I've talked to have realized knew what this word meant. It was called head knockers. Has anybody ever heard of the head knockers? In the churches, wherever. There were men in the church that had little sticks about this long. And if somebody went to sleep, they just went and bumped them upside the head. So this guy went to sleep, and the head knocker went, bam, and he went, hit me again, I can still hear him. So you don't ever know what's good or bad, too, and just a little pre-thought here. You don't ever know if it's a good situation or a bad situation, do you? You don't know. I mean, you know, you can look at it. In other words, some people say, look at things two different ways. You know, I can dwell on the bad or dwell on the good, or don't know for good, don't know if it's bad, or don't know if it's sort of in between. So this true story, I reckon a head knocker, that other was a joke, but this is something real. There was a monk, 84 years old. You may have done heard this. 84-year-old monk. Okay, here he died a while back. I had his name, but I ain't got it now. But he died in childbirth, and he never saw his mama. Matter of fact, he lived his life in a monastery for 84 years and never saw a woman. Is that good or bad? You'll have to make up your mind about that. Y'all supposed to laugh about that. Can y'all imagine a man that lived 84 years and never saw a female? Is that good or bad? Did you say bad, Derek? Who says good? Ain't a good one. Ain't one of y'all out there is going to say good. I'll tell you what, he's probably, bless his heart, he's dead and gone. But Kathy's got two chickens that I don't remember what all happened, but the mama had chickens, and there's a bunch of them, and the mama died, and all the chickens died except for two, and she put them little chickens in a cage on the back porch, and it's got a heat lamp on it, and they've been there a long time. They should done be full-grown chickens, but they're caged in, and I think they're retarded. And I'm going to tell you, they don't even look like chickens. They don't act like chickens. We opened the cage. And one stayed in, one finally got out, or you might have let it out, and the other one was still in, and I got it, put it out on the porch, and they all jumped back in there. Not me, buddy. If I could get out of the monastery, I'm going to see the rest of the civilization. And don't feel like that you're in a cage this morning. Amen. 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 Can you imagine that the door's open for God and that people can get out of the cage? I like it here, man. I like it here, just living here, you know. Not me. But anyway, I just thought I would say that. I was saved. I was born in 1956. And I just wrote this down. I was saved when I was 14 years old. So saved 53 years, preaching 54 years. That don't mean nothing. I met a woman and her husband. Well, I didn't meet him. I know him well. We were talking about cooking. I said that they was wanting to buy my dinner. And I had ate a big breakfast, and I've just been eating in the middle of the afternoon or later on in the evening, and not eating late after 5 and eat a good breakfast. Kathy cooks me biscuits. Sometimes I change it to waffles or pancakes on special days, but it's usually homemade biscuits. But anyway, we were talking about that, and she said, well, my mama did all the cooking, and there's a big family in the country there, and I never did learn how to make biscuits, and so we buy both some biscuits. But, you know, it's something from the Word of God, and that's okay. I can eat the both biscuits. But I'm going to tell you one thing this morning. You ain't got no frozen biscuit. It's either coming from God or nothing's coming, okay? It's not something I've had on the freezer. But anyway, praise the Lord. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I'm down from heaven. And may the Lord bless this time we spend together for a little bit, Lord. I pray that the word of God will go out in power. Lord, I think about old Robert out in California and all the military. Bless them. And old Levi out there finishing up on the 28th. I pray you'll strengthen him in his faith and his health and everything he does. And we just appreciate it. And these other boys that's in the military here, bless them. And Lord, I just pray, Father, again, I'll thank you for the spirit of revival that's in this place. And may it carry on in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen. Now, we're talking about Jesus, and we're going to say a few words about his life. In John chapter 20, in verse 30, the Bible says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Now, you understand that there's some record somewhere of everything that Jesus done. And listen to this. By the way, in the last chapter of this book, it says, verse 25 or 21, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Can you imagine that? Not enough room in the whole world to hold the books about the records of Jesus' actions on this earth. But there's eternity. And it might just be, having read this closely in verse 30, which are not written in this book, that infers there's other books and other records. Amen. Now, but look at verse number 31. But these are written. So I heard Dr. Kanoy say many times, the word of God is not everything that God knows, but it's everything he wants us to know. And we can spend lifetimes trying to understand the word of God and never get everything that God wants us to know. But he says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That verse right there would save the whole world. That verse. But these are in, there's a key word here, that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of Christ, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that you might believe. There's something that I'm going to repeat probably in the next weeks in these, on these thoughts, but the key word that we're talking about is believe. The key word is believe. Everybody, there's something called relief factor. Has anybody heard of that advertised relief factor? It's supposed to relieve your pain, relief factor. So I hear people talking about that, but let's talk about the belief factor. Everybody, I don't care who they are, believes something. And the masses are wrong about what they believe. The masses are. You know what you believe. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, right? And you have trusted him. You believed on him for the salvation of your soul. So your belief system's in order. It's in line. And then we got to keep on believing Jesus after we're saved. We don't just believe him to get saved. We believe him to live every day of our lives. We got to keep believing him, not in us, not in the system, but in him and him alone. We need to believe. And there is a great crisis of people that will get saved and they are challenged about keeping on believing him, not for salvation necessarily, but for sustainment and for security and for whatever else comes. It's all Jesus. It's all about him. Now, there's a two people in our text today, and I'm not going to try to exhaust this. I'm just going to break the ice with you. There's two people of importance that believe Jesus, and then there's more people. But these particular two people were in the Old Testament, and Jesus makes reference to them. And one's a widow, and the other is a leper. His name was Naaman. There was a widow lady that came in contact with Elijah. He came in contact with her. And I believe she got saved because she says, I know that thou art a man of God, and the words that thou speakest are God's words. She responded to the word of God. It's one thing to hear the word of God, but another thing to respond to it. So I believe that lady got saved, a widow lady that was starving to death. And then there was a man named Naaman who was a leper. He was an important man in Syria there. He was an important man in the kingdom there. Not a Jew, and neither was the widow woman a Jew. Now, isn't that something? And this man realized he had leprosy, and he made contact with Elisha, and he got healed of his leprosy. The woman was sustained and starving, her and her house and household. And she actually took Elijah into her house, and she had some kind of upper chamber that he lived in for an indefinite period of time. When for 3.5 years, there was no rain on earth. And he lived with her, and she had a son and maybe more. He saw her the way he come in contact with her, because he was on the brook, and God was taking care of him with a raven feeding him. And the brook giving him water, but the brook dried up because he had predicted that there would not be any rain. And when he made that prediction, it not only affected the world, but it affected him. And the brook dried up. And when it did, he said, go into Zarephath. There's a widow lady that'll help you. He walked in. He's walking in the city. She's at the gate. And she's looking around, picking stuff up off the ground. Sticks. She picked up 2 sticks. And he said, go fetch me a little water. Now, it's a drought. The brook's dried up. They had wells. So she started going to pick up to get him a cup of water. Wherever. He said, go fetch. Now, listen to this. He was a male chauvinist. Because he said, go fetch me a drink of water. Forgive me. He could have said, if you'd been a little more mild-mannered, me and him both, young lady, where is there any water around here where I might go get? He told her to go. And while she was walking off, the way, if I play, let me a little check. What the clerk take gave some I've been a cat head biscuit, but she said, now wait a minute. She said, I'll see these two sticks. I'm going to make a fire for us, and I've just got a little bill in my barrel and a little oil in my cruise, which is only enough to feed me and my son, make two little cakes, and then we're gonna die. He said, well, don't dwell on that. Just go do what I said. Make me a cake first. Sounds like a man, don't you? What's yours? I remember down in this man named John down Veracruz at Temple Sink Club. And we stayed in this place, me and Abby did upstairs, and they had a dog named Rocky. And so John and his wife and that's a long story. So he said, she's feeding Rocky something deep. And she said to him, John said, can I have something deep? She said, something deep. She said, my kind of woman, right? But he said, look, just go do what I said. You know what? She is hearing the word of God. Because that was the will of God. God had done said to the preacher, the prophet, she's going to take care of you. And she don't know it, but she is. She don't know it, but she's going to take care of you. She's going to put you first, the prophet. That's very important. Is it not? So she went and did like he said. And guess what? The oil in the barrel, the oil in the cruise, wasted. And the meal in the barrel was wasted not. Till after the breakfast. He was in the front. Well, I thought I got it all. Look, me and my boy. And also, you'll say, it says, and her house. This is in 1 Kings 17. There was another, her boy. And Elijah and her house. I don't know who else was involved. She might have been going to let her husband starve. Well, for me and my son, my husband, give him one somewhere else. He can go down to Jack's or something. But it didn't waste. I'm talking about for 3.5 years until the drought was over with, that woman was taken care of. Because she put God first. She responded to the word of God. Not to the selfishness of an apparent male species, but to God. She knew he is a prophet. They come in, they had prophet clothes on. They had the clothes, they could recognize them walking into town. And when they come into town, they would come and say, they would come to that prophet and say, are you coming in peace? Don't call fire down on us. And they could do that. Don't bring us no trouble. Are you coming in peace? He was coming hungry and thirsty. And she put him up. Okay. Goes a little farther. Here, after some days, or a year or whatever, he had that little summer. He must have been little. He hadn't been through pussy. And he went sick. He got sick. And she started blaming the man of God. She said, did you come here to bring my sin to remembrance? There was something bothering that woman from her past. Or maybe her present. But she said that. You can read 1 Kings 17. Are you coming to bring my sin to remembrance? Oh, man of God. You're supposed to be a man of God. She said, I died. And he came down and her son is too. And he took. He said, let me have that. And he took that little boy and took him up from his bed and laid him on his own bed. And he laid down on top of him several times. And he prayed that God would bring that the spirit and soul back to that child. And that baby come back alive. And he carried that baby back to mother's arms. And then 1 Kings 17, here's what she said. And Elijah took the child, brought him out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And I'm saying this to some of you that are praying for your loved ones that are dead in their sins. Don't you forget to put God first. Don't you forget to put him first. And you pray for your children. And don't give up on them. And don't blame the church or the preacher. But pray for them, because God can give life to those people. Eternal life. He can turn them. Praise God. Where's the bird? You had a real dead child in your arms, you would know it. But some of you live with or have folks that are dead in their sins and you don't even realize. God can give them life. I believe God. Here's what this woman said. The woman said to Elijah, "Now by this, I know that thou art a man of God and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." In other words, maybe she had some kind of doubt because of the miracle of the food for those times. But when he raised somebody from the dead through the power of God, that woman was convinced that he was a man of God and that he had spoken the word of God to her. Now, I hope there's not any challenge of any thought that this is not a living book. This is the living word of God. And when the word of God goes out through a man of God, whoever that's a man of God, if it's received, brother, there can be miracles happen in your life. Like people get saved. And there's something of interest here, because he said, "When have you come to bring it?" You can remember the thing. Have you come to bring it? That's got to be dealt with. Maybe that woman had prayed and prayed that God would just forgive her and whatever, but she had a sense she was convicted. She was convicted when she saw that baby die. And she might have said, "It's because of me that he died." You don't ever know what haunts a person that says, "Preacher, are you coming to bring my sin to remembrance?" That's what it said. It says, she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou coming to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" She was blaming the preacher. And you know what? I'm used to it. I'm used to getting blamed everywhere I go. You know, it sort of matters, but really, living bad, it's my fault. Things are going good, it's everybody's fault. It don't really matter. It just don't matter. But I want to tell you what, God got the glory in that woman's life because she was convinced. She said, he said, John said in John chapter 20, he said that these things, that you may know that you have eternal life. And she got it convinced in her heart once and for all that this was the man of God. And he had given her the word of God, and she believed it was the word of God, and she received the word of God. In here, I'm not, if I say me or I, it's going to be, I want you to say you or yourself, y'all, because I'm going to give you something. I hope at the end they'll give you a convincer. God knows who you are, but do you know who he is? There's the big difference. There's the big difference. Now, Naaman can say that for me. In 2 Kings chapter number 5, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man. He had fought in the wars. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Wow. You know, everywhere in leprosy in the Bible is pictured as sin. But in this case, this was he was a great man, but he had one problem. He was a leper. That's tragic to you. You go to the doctor, let him examine, say something there's a little white spot, leprosy. I mean, that just devastated and destroyed everything, hopes, ambitions, anything, family, being, having to be separated from his family. And there was a little girl there, a little maiden that they had taken hostage from Israel to Syria there, taken hostage a little maiden. Now, there's a whole message in this. This little maiden said, would to God, and I'm paraphrasing this a little bit, that he could, that my master could go to Israel because there's a man of God there that's in big. And the other servants heard her talking about that, and they went to Naaman, and Naaman said, let's get to the king. I'm going to write a letter to the king, and he can help me. The king got the letter. The king tore his guard. No, suits are bad. And every time in the Bible, I see them just ripping the garment. And I know the king had important garments, a lot of money. They just wasted a lot of clothes. I believe I just got down on my knees. And if I was going to tear my garments, it wouldn't be the shirt that I wear all the time that I hope never gets stowed away in my pants and whatever. But they just ripped their garments. He said, am I God? This man think I'm God that I can give life? And he said, he's up to something. He's trying to trick me. And Elisha heard, you know how things get in the grapevine. Oh, there's somebody's come to the king, and he come to the king, and he said, he's not the one that can heal, but we know you can. So Elisha sent word, and Naaman came down to Israel with all kind of garments. They all said, you know what, they bring like, I don't get the numbers right, but they're bringing like 20 changes of garments. And they're bringing gold. And they're bringing silver. And they come up to Elisha's house. And they call for Elisha. Listen to what kind of man he was. He didn't even go out. There's an important man out there with all kind of money and suits. And I'll tell you what, the average preacher I know would have jumped off the porch and run to meet him. Need some new suits. And he just stayed in the house. He's probably watching Roy Rogers or something. He sent a messenger out there. He said, just go tell him to go dip, to bathe in the Jordan River 7 times. The Jordan River is a muddy river. It's known to be a muddy river. And old Naaman got upset. He said, I've come all the way down here. And he's told me to go get in that muddy river 7 times. He said, there's 2 crystal clear rivers, Chebar and some other one, where I'm from. I could just as easy. That's where I'd rather take a bath. No, you got to humble yourself. So he's heading back. He said, forget this. And the servant said, if he had asked you something hard, okay, you'd probably done it. But it's pretty easy just to go dip, get washed, take 7 baths in the river. He changed his mind, right? He went back. He went down there and got in that river 7 times. And the Bible says when he came up the 7th time that his skin was like the skin of a baby. Can you imagine that? A grown man with the skin of a baby. He had to learn to grow a beard again. Now, his skin. Yeah, clean. He was so happy about it that he went back to Elisha, and he wanted to give him like 20 pounds of gold, silver, changes. You know what? Elisha was not a Baptist preacher. They wasn't Baptist back then. Because the average Baptist preacher said, well, thank you very much. But you know what Elisha said? You don't owe me nothing. I ain't taking nothing. So he didn't. He went on his way. But here's what he said. He said, can I have 2 mules of burden, of 2 mules of earthen burden? And what he meant by that, he said, listen, he said, let me just show you. Let me tell you what he said verbatim, and then I'll give you what he did. He said in verse 16, but he said, this is Naaman, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, this is Elisha, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Now look, verse 15 says, and he returned to the men of God, Naaman did, the leper, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. You know what? He got saved. And I believe that woman, that widow woman got saved. And Naaman said, shall there be not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto the gods, but unto the Lord. So you know what he did? In this, the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Raymond to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Raymond, when I bow down myself in the house of Raymond, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And you know what he did? He took those 2 mules burdened with earth and dirt, and he put it there where he would worship God. In other words, he's got dirt from Israel, and he's bowing down worshiping God and representing the nation of Israel, saying, this is my God, not the God of my master. And he said, pardon me when I have to play the game. You'll have to figure that one out. And play the game was because he was required to go to the pagan God's temple. But there was a place where he had 2 piles of dirt that he worshiped God till the day he died, because God healed his leprosy. He said, I know that there's just one God in the whole world, with the exception of some of us believe there's other gods, and there's not. There's one God. One God. And when you're convinced of that, and convinced that his son is Jesus Christ, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. That believing on the Son of God, you may know that you have eternal life. And these people were convinced, and they were new. And they knew, and God did something in their lives to just keep reminding them that they had to fall back on, saying, this is what happened in my life. I was a leper. Not anymore. My son was dead. He's not anymore. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, there's references in our lives that if you know God from time to time, God says, don't you remember when? Something that happened that you can never get over. And some people wouldn't even believe. But you know. You know. Praise God. In Luke chapter 4, the word of the Lord says to us, now listen, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to back up on these other verses later and come back and pick up the word belief. But this leper, Naaman, believed, and this widow believed, and they had something substantial happen in their lives that changed their lives forever about who the real God was. And in verse 24, he said, but I tell you, 25 of chapter 4, but I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias. That's Elijah. That's transliterated into the Greek language. It's the same word. But I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens was shut up 3 years and 6 months with great famine was throughout the land. Now watch this. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. There was other widows, Terry, that starved to death. But she didn't. There's other widows that watched their children dwindle down to nothing, wanting something to eat, and there was nothing to eat, or even something to drink. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, who is Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. None of them. Not one leper was cleansed in 3.5 years. Not one of them. And I don't know for however long. And not one widow was sustained. The widow that was sustained and given life to her son believed God. At first, neither one of them were convinced. They both had to be prompted. They both had to be told. But upon that condition, a critical time came in their lives to get them, and brought a prophet came to tell them the word of God. And on the end of it, both of them believed. What do you believe? Do you believe God? Are you saved? Well, are you believing God now? Or are you going through some kind of situation that would challenge your belief system and you need to be reminded, oh, God raised my son up. Oh, I used to be a leper. That happens to me. Let me tell you something, Jeff. You can think about this. There were many 14-year-olds in South Gadsden, but God saved one of them. Helps me. I know there's some problems, and there's others saved. You're saved. But I'm going to tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, why did God pick me out? Why in the world? What did I do that would cause God to select me? And I'll tell you, I did nothing. And you've just got to realize that the sovereignty of God plays great part in the salvation of a soul. But it gives everybody the opportunity. Maybe it's because they don't believe the word. Maybe God knows who's going to believe or ain't going to believe. You know that? He knows. Elijah could have went to another widow sister. He could have found another widow. It says there were many widows. And he could have went to that another widow and said, hey, go get me a glass of water. And she'd say, go jump in the lake. But there ain't no lake to jump in. There ain't no water. I mean, there were many lepers. It says many lepers and many widows. He said, hey, he could have went to another leper and leper said, you know, forget this. I'm dying. Ain't no hope for me. Do you know that I had a classmate. I went to visit him in the hospital. This has been several years ago. We were both in our 20s, I guess. Maybe just 30. I can't remember. I went to visit him. His name was David. He had cancer. And I went in to pray for David. I hate to say this, but he was never easy to get along with. It's like he had an attitude. Now, I've got an attitude too, I guess, but he always, even in school, had an attitude. And he was laying there dying in the hospital, Jeff. I said, David, I talked to him a little bit, and I said, listen, I've been praying for you, and I come to pray with you. He said, you don't need to pray for me. I'm dying. You don't need to pray. Do you know if God would have allowed him to, not that I'm nothing, but if we could have just prayed, he might be alive today. God knows who's going to believe and not believe. And God's got a way of coming into our lives to I wrote a couple of things down. I heard I may not get this exact, but J.D. Vance says the difference in one's success or lack thereof is based upon the expectations one has for their life. And in a physical, carnal way, that's true too. But I tell you, when that statement takes hold of God, there's nothing that you can't go through. There's nothing. When a person has great expectation for life within an alignment with a great God and Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's expectation for that person, there's unlimited opportunity. And I'll tell you what, my friends, what I'm interested in doing is not trying to find out my expectations for myself, but find out God's expectations for me and getting together with God. And I'm going to tell you, it's all going to work out to you and me, whoever else, to say, I'm going to get in line with God's expectations for me. I'm going to hang on to that, and I'm just going to trust God all the way through. Because that woman had another life to live. She had the rest of her life, that widow, and that, and Naaman had a rest of his life to live, and he had to have reflections back. And I'm going to tell you what, listen, the Lord has ways of confirming for me, and there's that word me, and I hope you too, the way the Lord has ways of confirming to me of who he is to me. And the Lord has ways of confirming to me who I am to him. Some of you, some people have the tendency to think bad about themselves. They're totally down on themselves all the time. That's what the devil wants. He wants to keep telling you you're no good, you'll never amount to nothing, you're going to die of leprosy, or you're going to starve to death, and it's all because of something happened in your past. Get away from that! Say, listen, I'm going to get with the Word of God, and I'm going to listen to the Word of God, and I'm going to draw to the Word of God, and I'm going to pursue the will of God and God's expectation in my life. Now listen, both the widow and the leper both heard of the Word of God, both responded. Years ago, I'm going to close here. I tell you what, I'm in the overtime right now. This won't take 5 minutes. It's going to be about me for a minute, and I want you to apply it to your life. I got saved when I was 14. Started coming to this church. Ray Hill was a pastor, came in as a new pastor. He said, I'm going to give a black Scofield Bible to the men, to the young person that brings the most people. And he had a white Scofield Bible, and he said, I'm going to give this white Scofield Bible to the young lady that brings the most people. Susan Heath got it. And I got the black Scofield Bible. I took it to my house at night. We live right down the road here. I read my Bible by, and you know I'm old, but you didn't know I was this old. I read my Bible many times by the fire in the fireplace. Something kept troubling my heart. Something was wrong. 14 years old, and it took a year for me to realize that God had called me to preach. I thought I was dying. I didn't know what was happening. But I took that Bible, and I read how you break a Bible in like you do a baseball glove. You break a baseball glove in, if anybody knows anything about baseball, and you also break a hat in where it won't look like you just come off the whatever. Oh, I know how to play baseball. And you didn't know one end of a bat from another. So you put a little piece, you get your little bit of pages, and you press it down. You get a little more, and you press it down. And I sat at the kitchen table late in the night, and everybody's in bed after I got that Bible. And I broke in that Bible, and that Bible's in my study at home. Started out with a red Bible that's the Gideons gave us. Same way with Brother Allen. Had a red Gideon's Bible. And I wanted one of them Scofield Bibles. God let me have it. And I used it for years. I've had many since then. Then Brother Allen came along. My. Brother Allen, there's a picture right there. This is a Bible, and in the opening, it's dedicated to Concord Baptist Church and Faith Baptist Camp. Brother Allen, he signed it right there. And I know it's his signature. I can't read it, but I saw him write it. Same way with me. Another King James Scofield Bible. Used all these years. I don't want it to wear out, but oh, I don't. Oh, the cover is torn and the pages are worn, and there's places that bear traces of tears. Yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old that can scatter and shatter my fears. To this book I will cling. Of its worth I will sing, though great crosses and losses be mine. For I cannot despair, though surrounded by care, on possessing this blessing divine. This has been several years ago. I got a date in here somewhere. I don't know. I can't find it now, but I got it somewhere. And he gave me this Bible. And Andrea's Andrea's not in here, but me and Andrea was talking just before we went up, before Christmas. I was at the church here in my study, and we were on the phone, and Andrea said, "Daddy, I'm looking at a new Bible." And she said, "I need to get a new Bible." She was asking me about Bibles and all. I said, and I was looking at my Bible when we were talking. I can stick my finger in there. I don't really need to keep doing that. But, you know, this has got lamb skin or something. Isn't that something, a Bible? It's got lamb skin on it. Clothed in the lamb. So I said, yeah, I need to get a new Bible. And so I need to get a new Bible too. I'm needing a new Bible. So Kathy and I left that next morning, going to North Carolina to give that money away for people for Christmas. We gave 21 families money. We were giving them 500 apiece, and the families kept growing on us. We cut it down to 200, where we could just divide it on down, and down to a 100 whose wife had just died, and he was living alone with no family, nowhere. The woman sitting by the road, living in a tent, cooking food on a rock. With a fire on it, with a pot on it. We give her $500, and we got down to 200, and we got down to 100, and down to 50, because I was taking pictures. I was going to give them $200, and so we were at, tell you where we went by, Gene. We went by Anchor, and people were coming in and out there, and we got out in the parking lot for the last two deliveries. And there's a family come out, and there's a man, a woman, and two or three kids, and there's an old woman. And we took her a picture. You know, we was going to take her a picture, and I was going to give them $200. She said, "Well, I'm not in the family. Friend. Not in the family." I give her that last $50. That's $6,050. On the way up there, does anybody know where Buckeyes is out there in Calhoun? Buckeyes. Anybody seen Buckeyes out there off 75? There's a shortcut now going on into LJ. You don't have to drive through Calhoun. I never did like to drive through Calhoun. They got that shortcut. We're coming over. We're getting about a mile or two before we get to Buckeyes. My old friend, Robert Craw called me. He was at our, he was, "Can y'all give me a little bit longer?" It's okay. All right. So, he called me on the phone. And he said, "I'm wanting to come over. I got a gift for you." Said, "Yeah, come over anytime. I got a Christmas present for you." And, I said, "Well, we're in route right now." I know he lived in that county, that Gordon County over there. So, I said, "We're in route." He said, "Well, where are you?" I said, we're coming up on Buckeyes." He said, "I live just 5 or 10 minutes right off that Highway 53. He said, "Look, I'm going to get out on the side of the road. And you come on down this day, get in your car and follow me to my house." And I did. And we got there. We went in and we got a guitar, and I played it. So anyway, he comes out with some pecans, right? Was it pecans? Yeah. He said, "Well, I got something about this. Clover, it's that famous honey from Georgia over there. Give me a jar of honey." I said, "Well, real thank you." And I'm thinking, jar of honey, bag of peanuts. I said, popcorn or whatever it was, pecans. I said, "Something." I said, "That's okay. He's getting older now." He said, "Here's what I really want to give you." There it is, Jeffrey. Come up here and help me a minute. There it is. Look at that. It's holding the end up there. Look at that velvet right there. You see that right there? That's solid gold. That's gold. Feel that. Feel that. Feel that. You ever felt anything like that? That's sheep or goat or something. You know how much this Bible costs to buy new? Take a guess. How about $750? He got them. He'd get a discount. I don't know how much. He said, I got a discount on them. $750. $750. Look at that. Schofield, 1611, authorized version. I was going to read out of this Bible today. I'm afraid to even touch it. Thank you. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll never convince me. And you probably don't understand this, but I'm not like everybody else. There's times when I want to chunk it. There's times when I say, I just can't handle it anymore. Maybe you're not like that, but there's times when I hit the bottle. And it was one of them times. Going over there with $3,000 to give away. You know, I was happy. We had a good time. But down deep in my heart, I'm thinking, I got to get this meeting going. And I've been, I'm behind. Let somebody else do it. And then Brother Croft pulled this Bible out. And all the way up to North Carolina, the Lord said, look, that's a new Bible. You got to wear that now, boy. Amen. And God confirmed to me the time that I said, Lord, if you'll let me, I want to win that Bible. And Brother Allen won that Bible. Now one of my dear friends who's really getting feeble. I'm not even going to tell anybody he got a discount, but he did. But $750, I'm afraid he didn't touch this Bible. But I'm going to tell you what, it'll always go back in my memory. Said, God confirmed some things to me. And it went back in the memory of that leper and that widow woman that they never forgot. And there's times in your lives that you tend to forget. But in a service like this, God might get you to reflect and say, I remember when. Let's stand. Now, some of you may want to come down and just give God thanks. Praise for what he's done in your life. God, give our blessings so easy. You forget what God has done for us. You might want to give praise. Father, bless his invitation. Save those that may be lost. It caused me to wonder why you saved me, but you did. And there were many other teenage boys to South Gadsden. But you saved me, and I know that. And you've confirmed your presence in my life so many times. Send revival. Save the lost. I pray in Jesus' name. You come on right now. Some of you, it's been a while since you've really come before God. You said, Lord, I remember what you've done for me, and I want to give you thanks and praise. I remember when. Sometimes you're going to forget if you're not careful.